Panda Talks has adult themes and uses adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
I want to know how that glass broke because I was literally just drinking out of it. You just found it sink cracked?
Yeah, well, no, sorry. It's the one from earlier today. I think you were drinking water out of it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was literally just drinking out of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I just picked it up and it had a crack in it, and I was like, well, as far as I know, we only have those two left of that kind.
We had four at one point. Where's the third one?
I don't remember when we bought them.
I bought them when Luca came out because I made
Oh yeah, you made those.
it. So it was before I worked, because before I worked, I really embraced the stay-at-home mom thing, and I was like, I'm gonna bake all the time, which I'm actually getting back into that now. Like, I want to make petite fours and cinnamon rolls and pretzels, possibly churros this month. Also, my birthday cake. Welcome to Panda Talks, where I have a cold.
And I'm Brady.
And today's episode had a couple that I wanted to do. One that I really, really wanted to do, but I have to put in research. And it had to do with the Super Bowl, I guess. So since this, I think the Super Bowl is this weekend as of recording. So this will come out later. I'm not sure. I don't follow it, but so we'll probably try and do that next year. So yeah, I've been sick. My daughter got sick last Sunday, and we've all have taken turns being sick, but I've not slept since she's got her cold because I'm up with one kid or another.
Yeah.
So I apologize for my voice, my sniffles, and my coughs, but this is just how life is. And that being said, it's Thursday night, which is a lot later than we like to record, and we had to hurry and record something, but I just didn't prepare for anything. Like, as much as we just pull these butt things out of our butts, a little bit of prep goes into it, but this one especially, we just, yeah. But Brady mentioned that he wants to be vulnerable and share a vulnerable story with me. And then one topic that's been on my mind recently was going over the five love languages, because I don't think we've ever done that here. And if we have, I apologize. And then, like a sign from God, dispatchers from Myrtle Beach also did, well, they just brought it up, like it was like a 2 second segment, but Charles Neal discovered the five love languages and kind of reviewed it, so I thought, hey, that's a good sign. Maybe we could do that. So, Brady, you had an anecdote you wanted to start the show off with. Did you want to share that now, or wait it until you're feeling more comfortable?
We can wait.
You can wait.
Yeah, I mean, it might not even be. Because at the time I was like, oh, this would be funny to share on the podcast. And now, like, the longer it goes, I'm like, it's got too much hype at this point. It's just gonna fall flat. It's
You
not.
literally have been like, I've been dying to tell you something, but I keep saying I'm going to save it for the podcast. And since we don't keep pushing this back, I don't know what the heck.
Yeah, and the longer it goes, I'm like, oh, it's just gonna be.
So are you just not going to share it at all?
Oh, I'll share it. It's not. I don't. What was that? I don't want anybody to think it's like this huge groundbreaking thing. It's just something that basically happened to me at work, and not didn't happen to me, but it was just like a realization that I had while I was at work, and I was like, oh, I'll have to tell Amanda about this when the time comes for a podcast.
Well, to be fair, no one said it was a big. I just said, hey, you had an anecdote, and you're like, oh, it's a big thing. It's not a big thing. It's not a big. You're making it a big thing.
Yeah, sorry.
All
I'm
right.
not meaning to, but
Anecdote, maybe. And then, so at the end of the. My throat's so dry, I'm so sorry. So I thought at the end of the episode, rather than doing a Mad Libs, maybe we could do the five love languages quiz. I can't remember how long it is. So we could just possibly like pause as needed, because we've taken the love language quiz once, and I think I fudged mine up, because you're supposed to have your top two highest scores are your love languages, and three out of the five were evenly tied, and then the other two, those gifts, was at a dead zero, which I'm not saying that's going to change, but I am going to say that, like, I don't think, so physical touch was one of my top fives, and, like, I teeter on that, because with my kids, I'm very physical touch, and, like, there are times when, like, I'm sad and I just want Brady to hold me, but for the most part, I don't think physical touch is my love language, but I know the importance of it. So I think I kind of fudged the test for myself, because as a massage therapist, and I can get into this later, but they just talk about how physical touch, like, and not in a sexual way, because I know that's going to get brought up, but, like, how just physical touch is so important for human, like, human contact, you know?
Yeah.
And then fun fact, I heard this on Dispatchers from Myrtle Beach. I'll give them a holler out. They don't need my help. They're doing great without me. But check them out if you are looking for a new podcast. It's, if you watch Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, it's Link Neal and his father, Charles Neal. And his dad's just an old Southern guy. And he's like, he's awesome. It's hilarious. It's really fun. Tell him Panda sent you. See if he'll give me a holler out. That'd make my life. Oh my gosh. I'd probably just record that and then just have that be my opening from then on. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Dispatchers from Myrtle Beach said that there's actually a sixth love language now called space. That's not in my book. I don't know anything about it, so I will not be going over it. If that sounds intriguing to you, feel free to look it up. So any questions from you before we get going, Brady?
No.
Any thoughts, feelings, comments, concerns?
I'm going to be honest. I think when we read this book, like, I'll be blunt. I had no idea that at the time you weren't a big fan of me, wanted to, like, work on our relationship, whatever. And I had no idea. I'm like, what are you talking about? Everything's perfectly fine. You're like, everything's not fine, which, you know, I don't know if that's a man trait or if that's a trait from just, like, certain people, like, you know, whatever you want to say, I'm a Scorpio or whatever. But it's just kind of funny, because I would never thought twice. I'm just like, oh, this isn't, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with a marriage, whatever. And, you know, lo and behold, you were super unhappy. And I was just like coasting through, no big deal. Come to find out later on, you know, that you were unhappy, and you brought it up, and you were just like, I can't even remember how you worded it exactly. I want to say it was like, it would mean a lot to me if you would read this book. And then I was like, well, I just remember thinking, like, this is stupid. And then that's kind of when I started realizing, like, we weren't in the same headspace. Like, I was perfectly happy with where we were, but you weren't. And, like, you thought that we needed work. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll, you know, take a listen to this. And it was eye-opening, I'll be honest. Like, as a dude who, I'm not going to say I'm not in touch with my feelings, but it's one of those things where you're like, oh, like, I'm much more in tune to myself, and I'm not the best at, like, picking up on social cues, I guess. Like, I get them, but it's like, when people are unhappy, it's not like I'm not looking for people unhappy unless they're, like, yelling and screaming. Then I'm like, oh yeah, you're, you know, upset. But for the most part, I'm not like, wait a minute, are you unhappy, whatever? I just thought, like, you were, you know, because you have depression, so some days you'll be down, whatever. But I remember, like, you just brought it up, and you're like, read this book. To, I mean, I guess to air our dirty laundry for a few minutes. But to be honest, it was one of those things where I'm like, if this is going to make you feel better, I'll read this book. Like, it's so, like, minuscule. Like, you know, a thing to, like, try to, you know, make somebody feel better or whatever. I'll read the book. And then, yeah, so I read it, and I remember it was, you gave me two of them to read. This was the first one. And it wasn't like, I'm not going to say it changed my life, but it really did made me, it makes you think a lot more about other people. Like, I think when you, like, well, I'm sure we'll get into it as you're reading, as you're going over your spiel. But for me, it was more like getting me to not put me second, but to not, to realize not everybody wants to be loved the way I want to be loved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've.
Well, and to be fair, just, and I've been very open with, there was a time in our marriage when things were not good. And I know I've been like open about that on the podcast just because I don't like secrets. I'm an open book. I'll share anything. But yeah, there was a time where, to be fair, our marriage was bad. It was getting better. It got better. We were great again. And then I felt, I had postpartum resentment, I come to find out after reading one of the books. And after, like, our second kid, after she was born, things went back to normal. We were happy. We were great. Kind of back to where we were. And then I felt myself slipping back into that postpartum resentment again. So that's when when I had postpartum resentment, I was looking up different books to read. And one of them was How to Not Hate Your Husband After Having Kids. And I wanted to buy it so bad, but I was afraid that if I bought it, you'd be offended. So the second time slipping back into postpartum resentment, I downloaded it and I wanted to be transparent. So I said, I was unhappy before. I don't want to get there again, so I'm going to read this. And yes, it would mean a lot to me if you would read it. And then in that book, she mentioned the 5 love languages, which my friend at the time had told me I should read. She went on and on about this. So that led me to the 5 love languages. There's a ton of these books out. I have read the 5 love languages and the 5 languages for children. And then there's like for teenagers. I think there's even like for singles, for married couple, which I don't think the married couple I'm gonna look into because I feel like the original book kind of is enough on that, but I don't know. Never say never. I think there's even one for like elderly. Don't quote me on that, but there's a ton of them. I'm just basically gonna go over the main one and then I'll touch a little briefly on the one for children because I love it. Oh yeah, look them up. But all right, that's our dirty laundry. We're better now. And so sorry if that makes sense.
I will be honest. I, you know, as much as you want to put out there, like whatever, but I was like, I was offended. Like not.
Well, and I knew you would be, but I didn't want to go back to it. So what do I do? Stay quiet?
No, I mean, tell you. That's kind of the thing is like, you look at it and you go, you never want to be told that you are lacking as a spouse, but at the same time, it was one of those things where it's kind of a make or break moment. Like if you really want your relationship to get better, then you need to, you know, work on it as a team. Like it's funny because reading the book or I listened to the book. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how, if you read it before you.
No, I listened to it on Audible with you.
But so I remember listening to it and he gets to a point where he's like, gets to the end and there's like a person like, I know my relationship needs help, but my husband won't listen to me. And he's like, well, then you make the effort and then he'll see that you're making the effort and change it. And I'm like, I didn't want to call bullshit, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I feel like that might work for a select set of people, but I don't know if that would work for everybody. You know, I'm sure there's certain people out there that are, if you started cleaning the house, doing all this shit that you want me to do,
Oh, absolutely, it doesn't
I
work
probably
because we do
wouldn't
this all the
notice.
time. Yeah,
And
I mean, I cook you. I work very hard on making you a meal, and you don't appreciate it, and I get offended, and you wonder why I'm so offended because you slightly critiqued my meal. Because in your mind, it's no big deal, but in my mind, my love language is, I think we'll take the test and see for sure. My love language is act of service, so you just critiquing my meal. Oh, it's too salty. Oh, I would prefer it with baked potato instead of mashed potato. It's like spitting in my face saying, hey, all this hard work you
well,
put in was for nothing because I don't appreciate it.
and that's the thing, it's like, not to get on a sidebar, but I'm like, I'm a picky eater and you know that, so it's like
I don't cook for you
I feel
anymore.
like you know that it's coming, and so then when you get like upset about it, I'm like, you knew it was coming,
Well,
like
I just,
you
and
knew
to get
it.
on a sidebar, I just wish I could give you a meal and you could just say, yeah, it's good, or shut the fuck up. I don't know why all of a sudden you become a food critic and go into you become Gordon Ramsay and all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, you know what would taste even better if you would have substituted the carrots with nothing.
I'm not a food
This
critic.
is fucking raw.
I just know what I like, and then I know
You like
you.
ketchup
Yeah, and you know what I
and
like, and so I feel
pizza.
like you know what I'm gonna say, but then you're hoping that I won't say it, and I'm like,
I just want
I
appreciation. I just want you to say, you worked really hard on this food. You were on your feet. You handmade the goddamn tortillas, and it tastes great. Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate you and the hard work you did, and the food's delicious. That's all I want. But instead, you just go, well, I don't like vegetables, so it would be better without vegetables.
yeah, but I mean, you know what's coming.
I don't even ask you anymore. Have you noticed I don't cook for you anymore?
I've noticed for the last 5 years.
The
Anyways, so let's get
is
back to the
okay.
story before you
See, I
dig
will go
yourself.
off.
Yeah,
I will go the fuck
you'll go
off.
off, and I literally won't care, which will make you more angry because that's my personality, and you, I don't know.
All
It's
right, all right. The five love languages. So.
Oh, wait, I found the books. So there's the five love languages. The five love languages, small group study edition, whichever that is. Five love languages for men. Five apology languages.
Oh, that might be interesting to look into.
Five love language for teenagers. Five loving languages for singles. Five love languages, how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate. Five love languages for couples. Five love languages for children. Let me see if there's any more. Five love languages, military edition.
I feel like there was one for elderly, but I could be misremembering.
Five love languages.
And the five love languages for teenagers, I do intend on reading, just not yet. Just because I'm not there yet. And so I'm not discounting it completely. And maybe it would be good to preemptively read it. But I just feel like, I mean, a sixth love language is supposedly out there. So maybe I want to wait until
Yeah, I don't.
it's
That's
updated before I read anything, you know?
all I'm seeing is those.
Okay, sweet. So the five love languages, if you don't know, are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And we'll just kind of go over them a little bit and just give a brief overview. And then there's some cool examples in here about different people that testimonies, I guess, about how it helped them, made them or break them. And he goes over a lot more. I definitely encourage reading this book. But yeah, words of affirmation are basically your love language is someone telling you, hey, you did a good job. Oh, you look beautiful today. You know, like, oh, I think it's worth mentioning. Sorry, let's back up. Every person needs and or appreciates all five of these. It's just one of these stands out more than the other. One of these is what really. He describes it as fills your love tank. And I really appreciate that terminology because I'll even say to Brady, hey, is your love tank full? What can I do to make sure your love tank's full? And even express to him, my love tank's running a little low, step it up because we all need those reminders once in a while. But anyway, so words of affirmation are verbal compliments or words of appreciation. And if we could take a quick sidebar just about how words affect you. I read this really cool study once. Remember my spooky, scary story of when I stayed in my crazy aunt's house for 2 weeks? And there's a poltergeist. I don't know. There's some spooky, scary spirit there scaring me. Scary, scary. Can I say that enough? She had this really fascinating book that, and you can look up this study, but it's a study of water. And it's these Japanese scientists, and they had water in a bowl, and they would talk to it sweetly. You're beautiful. You're lovely. And then they'd look at the molecules under a microscope. Like, they had the test, the control water, you know. And so they compared all these pictures side by side. And the one under the microscope looked so beautiful. It almost looked like a snowflake. Like, it was just this beautiful crystallized molecule. And then they would speak harshly to it. The example they did in the book was, "You fool," which made me laugh, but, you know, it's still there. Calling the water a fool. And it then showed the close-up of the molecule, and it was damaged. And if you take that into consideration, that study that they did on water, that talking positively and negatively to it can affect it. And then you take into account that our bodies are somewhere between 60 and 70% of water, and I use 60 to 70 because I can't remember if it's 60 or 70.
I want to say I learned 70, but
I want to say I've learned both, and I thought it was one, and then the other was told to me, and I was like, wait, and I've seen both, so somewhere between 60 and 70. Majority of our body is made of water, and then you say mean, awful things to yourself, or someone else says mean, awful things to you, like, how do you think that's going to affect you, you know? And just on the other side, so having someone else say kind words to you, "Hey, Amanda, I appreciate this meal that you cooked for me. I appreciate the hard work you put into keeping this house clean, raising this family. You look beautiful today." Like, don't you think, like, that's going to have an effect on people? Like, words, like, I know sticks and stones, you know, that old saying, but words really do have a profound impact on people. And I think back to that water study every time. I mean, we talk to plants. It is, like, proven you talk to plants and they grow better because they're high in water, just like us. So why wouldn't we talk kind to ourselves? Why wouldn't we talk kind to others? And that's kind of a soap. Sorry. I'm soapbox. Gosh dang it. Okay, that's a soapbox for another day about I don't understand how people can just be rude just for the sake of being rude. We kind of talked about it today, but all that just to say, think of that as we go into words of affirmation. If you don't think kind words can really make or break someone, I mean, even God, I don't want to bring it up because it's going to make me emotional. But, like, just certain things you can say to kids. Like, Brady will say some things to our kids, and he's joking. He's 1,000% joking, but it's still, like, I get so angry at him. Because, like, God, I don't know. I've just, like, heard enough, read enough studies about, like, things parents say to kids that have such a direct impact on them. Even if it's joking, I am so protective of my kids. I don't want them to, like, have daddy issues, even if Brady was joking. Anyway, sorry. Soapbox over. Let's go over some straightforward examples of words of affirmations, such as, "You look sharp in that suit." Do you ever look incredible in that dress? Wow. You never use that one on me. Those exact words. Well, Do you ever look incredible?
Because I'm not 75.
When you are 75, I'm going to be waiting for that compliment. I really like how you're always on time to pick me up at work. Thanks for getting the babysitter lined up tonight. I want you to know I don't take it for granted. You can always make me laugh. So I think a good way to sum up words of affirmation is just people want validation. such as my cooking. I don't want Brady to tell me how the dinner could be better. I want him to tell me that he recognizes that I was on my feet spending time cooking a meal and tell me, thank you, I recognize that you did all that. And it was stressful and it was hard, but you pulled it off. And like that validation, I guess, is just a simple explanation. People just want validation. They just want you to know that they care about them. I think would be a good like sum up of that. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add on words of affirmation? I'm not going to go through the full chapter. I just want to do a quick sum because read the book if you want like a full explanation.
I just think it, you know, goes along with compliments and whatever. Just, yeah, you never, like, there's some people that it means the world to, and you don't really, I feel like that one, like we kind of said, like, kids are kind of all of them, but I feel like that one, especially, you know, because it's like tonight, our daughter was in the bathtub, and she was just being a kid and just playing around. And she ended up splashing water all over the place. And she was, like, in her room, like, just sulking, being sad. And then you told me to go talk to her. And so I went and talked to her, and she was just like, sorry, I made a mess, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's fine. I cleaned it up. It wasn't a big deal. And she's like, well, I know, but I know how much you hate messes. And I was just like, well, I mean, you're not wrong, but I guess I could tell another story with that, but it's kind of a tangent, but I don't know. It just, for kids, that's a big deal, you know, like, even though to us, we look at it and we go, you know, it's not that big of a deal, you know, telling somebody, hey, good job. Hey, you know, that's awesome. But to kids, it's like everything. And then if your kid thinks that you're upset with them, you know, like if your spouse thinks you're upset with them, then, you know, that's one thing, depending on your personality. Like, some people, it makes them angry, and other people, they're like, well, how can I make it better? But it's like with kids don't want you to be upset, you know, and all it takes to kind of calm them down is just like, hey, it's okay.
Quality time. Quality time is the second love language we are going to cover. Quality time is basically just spending time with one another. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be an extravagant, like, we're going to go out to dinner and, like, dancing and a movie. Does anyone go dancing anymore? Is that a thing?
I think my cousin does.
Like, what, country dancing?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it could seriously just be something as simple as we just sit on the couch and watch TV. After we put the kids to bed, that's when me and Brady have our quality time. We just sit on the couch, we watch TV, one or both of us usually falls asleep. This podcast is kind of quality time, you know. It's just being time with, just taking special time to be with one another. I am going to say this right now. It does not mean a time where you sit on the couch and then you're both in your own worlds on your own phones. If you do quality time with one another, you put down the GD electronics and actually, like, look at that person when they're talking to you. Spend time with that person.
Yeah, you do something that you, because, I mean, I was going to say this for later. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. But it, like, we were thinking, you asked me earlier. Sorry, that was a lot of words to get to this point. And you said, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? And I had three thoughts, but I didn't want to be like picking on my own. I was just like, okay, what are my thoughts? My thoughts were the place that we had our first date, me and you, the place that we had our first date that was like a group date, or a place that you had mentioned like that you wanted to go and eat. And so I was like, oh, well, which one do I pick? Do I pick the one that I personally was like, oh, I'd like to go to this one, or do I do the one that I know you wanted to, or do I try to pick somewhere sentimental? And it's kind of like, but at the same time, that being said, it would be more or less, if we go out to dinner, it's dinner, you know, it's not like you or I'm doing my own thing and you're doing your own thing, whatever. We usually kind of like no phones, you know, unless it's just like McDonald's, you know. But if we're going out to like a steak place, or if we're going out Carrabba's, some other place, I'm like, hey, those places, I feel like people notice, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm going to be on my phone the whole time, or I'm going to be doing this, or I'm going to be doing that. And but it's funny because you'll go out and people don't get that, you know, they just kind of like are in their own little world or whatever. Nothing's kind of more annoying than hanging out with somebody and they're just like on their phone the whole time. So I mean, it's not even like, I'm not going to say as a couple, like as a couple, I feel like if we're hanging out and we're always on the phone, that's one thing because we're married, whatever. Like if you were dating me and I was on my phone the whole time, I'd probably, that's kind of embarrassing.
I need to correct myself real quick, because as I skimmed through this book, it says by quality time, I mean giving someone your undivided attention. I don't mean sitting on the couch watching television together. When you spend time that way, Netflix or HBO has your attention, not your spouse. What I mean is sitting on the couch when the TV is off, looking at each other and talking. Devices put away, giving each other your undivided attention. It means taking a walk, just the two of you, or going out to eat and looking at each other and talking. That's huge for me. You have social anxiety, so you like to be on your phone. And I can tell it drives my grandfather crazy when he comes up and talks to you and you don't even take your eyes off your screen to look at him. And I'm always like, put your phone away, put your phone away. But I know that's just a social anxiety thing and you feel like you have to look at it. But here is a good like little list of quality times if you need some ideas or if any of these sound appealing to you. Spend a weekend in the mountains, sometimes with the kids and sometimes just the two of us. Meet her for lunch at a nice restaurant or sometimes just at Panera. How white trash am I that I'm like, oh, Panera's a nice
I
restaurant.
thought the same thing. As soon as she said that, I'm like, that's a pretty nice place.
I'm just the older I get, the more I realize I'm white trash and I hate it about myself. When I come home at night, sit down and talk with her about my day and listen as she tells me about her day. She doesn't want me to watch TV while she's trying to talk to me. Spend time talking with the children about their school experiences. Spend time playing games with the children. Go on a picnic with her and the kids on Saturdays and don't complain about the ants and the flies or the food she made. I added that last part. Take a vacation with the family at least once a year. Go walking with her and talk as we walk. So it's not necessarily, like I said, it doesn't have to be anything. You don't have to make it a Disneyland trip. You know, it's just taking time. Undivided attention, which I definitely feel. I know I've gotten mad at you a time or two when I'm trying to talk to you and you're on your phone on a video game, and I'm like, just talk to me, and you're like, I am, and I'm like,
Yeah.
put the phone down and look at my
Well,
face.
and I felt the same way. Like when we're like, oh, we're watching YouTube, and then we're watching, but you're over there watching TikToks, and I'm like, you're not really with me. You're kind of just on your own.
Oh,
So I get it.
don't get me started. We're not here to fight. We're not here. Why did this turn into us fighting
It
on our
didn't. It turned into
podcast?
me pointing something out, and you got offended.
So our oldest daughter's love language is quality time, and we'll kind of at the end I'll get into how to find out the love languages, like how you can find out what your kid's love language is. But our daughter is quality time, and I tell this to my mom and my mother-in-law, my grandma, like anyone who will listen. Because like often like when it's her birthday, they'll be like, well, what does she want? What does she want? And like honestly, if you just take her to the gas station, to the dollar store, to Walmart, and you can buy her like a $1, $2 gift, that will mean more than to her than the most expensive gift that you can buy off from anywhere. To her, going to the gas station and getting a Diet Coke means is like that means more to her than like a Barbie dream house. Like she'll still love a Barbie dream house, obviously, but But it's more the experience. She wants to feel love. She wants to feel special. She wants you to spend one-on-one time with her. You know, like she drew me a shit ton of pictures today. And I was watching my tortillas cook, so I couldn't like, you know, it's a delicate process. Watching them, making sure they don't burn. But like, I needed to take my eyes off the damn tortillas for 2 minutes to just sit and let her show me every single picture she drew today. Because that meant, oh, sorry. Oh, we're gonna get through this, I promise. Okay, we got three more of these. Okay, let's get going. I don't remember what I was saying before, I was dying. But the next one is receiving gifts, which is exactly as it sounds. The friend that told me to check out these books, her love language is receiving gifts, which I can understand this one.
Which friend told you about these books?
The one I need to do a cord cutting with.
Oh.
Because I don't know where our relationship stands, but I think they're done with me, and I'm heartbroken about it. I don't know what's happening, so I just need to do a cord cutting and move on. But, I can understand. So for her, receiving a gift, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because if you get her a shitty gift, it's going to be very upsetting to her. But if you get her something good, it's going to be very meaningful to her. So it almost makes it like jewelry. I know she hates jewelry. She doesn't wear jewelry. So if you buy her something jewelry, it's useless to her.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes it more intimidating to shop for her, because it's like you almost have to get it exactly right. But the thing is, when you get it exactly right, and here's the thing. Here's what I'll say about like my end on gift giving. I love getting people gifts. I love, for example, we get like Cade and his wife every Christmas. We like make sure that we get their name.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love nothing more than sitting down and being like, hey, what would they love most of all? And like this year, his wife wanted a cookbook by Stanley Tucci, who I was like, I don't know who that is. And I do. I just don't know his name because I'm that idiot. But like,
yeah, he's from Beethoven.
Is he?
Yeah.
I know he's Meryl. He's in everything Meryl Streep, and I love her. So.
Well, I was actually, I saw him, and I went, I know this freaking guy, and I'm pretty sure he's this.
I didn't watch Beethoven.
Gross looking dude from Beethoven. It had to be one of his earlier movies.
He's so gross.
And well, anyway. Okay, so in that movie he is. Okay. He's got his hair greased back and little mustache.
Okay. So I watched Julie and Julia this weekend, and he was in that. He's in everything Meryl Streep, and I love Meryl Streep. So I knew who he was. I just didn't know his name. Anyway, I absolutely hated, and since my Kate's listening, I'll be vulnerable. So I was like, what does your wife want? And he's like, just ask her. And I was like, I don't want to. And it's such a big deal. I felt like a failure that I had to say, I don't know you. What do you want? Like, that hurt me. And she told me that cookbook. So I bought that cookbook, skimmed through it, and saw cannolis was in there. So I bought her some cannoli rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so exciting and meant a lot. Like, I loved doing that. I don't know if she likes the cannoli rolls. I've been meaning to text her and say, have you made cannolis yet? Because it's something, like, I bought myself cannoli rolls, but I haven't made them yet because, long story, we won't get into it. But, I just, you know, like, that is fun for me. Like, I know we've talked about it before, but the funnest year I ever had shopping for them was the year we bought them It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Christmas special. And we bought his wife, like, a nice bag, and we filled it with cheese curds and malted milk balls, and we got a Countach and a Bop It and put it in the bag. Like, that was, like, I even told her when I was asking, I'm like, I feel like I peaked on my gift giving that year because it was so catered to you guys and what you like that I don't think we can ever do like that good again. Like, so I do get it. I get that gift giving, I love giving gifts. I hate receiving gifts. Gift giving is not my love language. But that being said, as this friend and is, like, she's admitted, like, she can become a hoarder very easily because that item is attached. Like, that item you give them, it has so much meaning to it.
Yeah.
That they can become a hoarder. And you watch that Hoarders episode. It's one of the first ones where that guy's like, I can't get rid of this water bottle because my mom bought it for me. And
she'll die.
No.
Oh, no, that's the dog.
His dog. If I throw it away, it means I don't love her. Mm-hmm. Like, it can go a little overboard, but that's basically gift giving in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Any gift giving thoughts?
Gift giving, I think
it's scored low for you too. Am I right?
Yeah, like I love gifts. Don't get me wrong. Like I love gifts, but at the same time, it's like if you don't give me a gift, I'm not gonna feel like I'm not loved. And to me, like a gift, like a meaningful gift, is something that is doesn't matter by price. Like sometimes if like I wake up in the morning. And, or not in the morning, but like after I've gone off work, if I wake up and then it's like, hey, I went and bought you lunch, you know, it doesn't have to be anything special, just like something. And then, hey, I bought you lunch. And I'm just like, wow, that means a lot, you know, and it's just like, it's lunch. It's nothing special to anybody, you know. If you come home after, like if you came home after a rough day and I'm like, hey, here's some flowers, you know. I think it's more like knowing the person. So I think for a lot of people, gift giving is going to be low, not necessarily because of like what it is, but it's just kind of like most people don't think about it. But then like for me, like I said, the gifts are just something that it's not so much an act of service, but it's just like something like here. You know what? I know you're having a rough day. Like, you know, it probably doesn't mean anything to you, but whenever you wake up, you're like, I have a migraine, and I'll go grab you a drink on the way home from dropping our daughter off at school. And I'm like, hey, here's this. It's not really a gift. It's just something that I'm like.
I would classify that more under active service, but that's just, which is a perfect segment, because our next segment is acts of service. So active service is basically just doing things for others. I think a good example, and this kind of goes into, oh, here we go. Here's a list of, so active service is just doing things for others, right? So like I said, for me, I think like my love language is cooking. If I make you dinner this year, for example, because I'm like literally doing this right now, I'm trying to be a better sister-in-law. I'm trying to be a better aunt. So for my nieces and nephews, I did this for my brothers and sisters one year. It didn't end well. So I'm not doing it for them again. But for my nieces and nephews, for their birthdays, I'm going to make them a birthday cake. To make them feel special, make them feel loved. And maybe this will go over their heads and it'll still end poorly. But like, to me, I took the time out of my day to make you, from scratch, a cake. To me, that means I love you. I took the time out of my day. I could have just made fucking hamburger helper. I could have just ordered a pizza. I could have just like thrown shit in a microwave and thrown it on the table. But I took the time out of my day to hand make a meal and feed the family because I love you and I want you to have a good meal. So the acts of service. Some better examples, because I'm rubbish, is make up the beds every day. Have the baby's face washed when I get home. Put her shoes in the closet before I get home. Try to have supper at least started before I get home so that we could eat within 30 to 45 minutes after I get home. Oh, do you know what? I'm actually reading from example. But those are still good things. Like, you know, acts of service. Like, hey, I do Brady's laundry. Not just do I do his laundry, because his mom is so superior in doing laundry than every other person on this earth, that I have to hang dry Brady's shirts because that's how Brady prefers it. Is this a huge inconvenience for me? Yes. Do I hate it? Yes. But that's how he likes his shirt done. So I hand dry or air dry his shirts, hang dry his shirts as an act of service to him, to tell him I love him. So that's what act of service is doing things for others. I know they are kind of self-explanatory, but we're trying to fill up an hour here. Bear with me.
To be fair, I don't necessarily think of hanging up shirts as like a thing my mom did. I just feel like
Yeah, I shrink
I feel
everything.
like they shrink, and I'm not like I get super self-conscious when I buy like
Yes.
an XL shirt and then I put it on the
But
next day and it's tight and I'm like, I'm not an XL anymore.
you have on more than one occasion said, "My mom just gets my whites so much whiter than you."
I've said that.
Yeah.
I've never noticed.
With your stupid UVU shorts, you're gonna have to ask my mom how she gets these white.
Yeah, I don't
We're
remember
gonna have
that at
to,
all.
well,
I mean, I
you
remember
have.
them not being white, but I don't remember.
Your mom is better at laundry than ever, and that's fine. My mom's shit at laundry, and she's the one who taught me how to do laundry, but I'm gonna keep that comment to myself because it's rude to someone who may or may not be listening. Are you ready for the last love language?
Yeah.
Physical touch. And again, I would like to emphasize that this isn't necessarily a sexual thing. It can be, obviously, but like, we're gonna be adults here. I'm not gonna die of a coughing attack. I'm gonna willpower my way through it. Physical touch can be something as easy as hand holding. He talks about this, about how, like, if you don't like physical touch, but your spouse does. Literally, it can be as easy as like putting your hand on his shoulder as you pour his coffee in the morning. Just holding hands, rubbing his shoulder, giving him a back scratch. Them, I should say. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from my perspective, but like anything physical, playing footsie under the table, just something. It's just that connection. And this is my sorry, I'm actually gonna read what Gary Chapman wrote about the power of touch before I dive into my personal story that like literally this like core memory, and like I said, I think this story alone is what fudged me when I took the test. But Gary writes, of the five senses, touching, unlike the other four, is not limited to one localized area of the body. I'm gonna kind of skip ahead here. I don't want to read the full subparagraph, full paragraph. When receptors are touched or pressed, nerves carry impulses to the brain. The brain interprets these impulses, and we perceive that the thing that touched us is warm or cold, hard or soft. It causes pain or pleasure. We may also interpret it as loving or hostile. Some parts of the body are more sensitive than others. The difference is due to the fact that the tiny receptors are not scattered evenly over the body, but arranged in clusters. Thus, the tip of the tongue is highly sensitive to touch, whereas the back of the shoulders is the least sensitive. The tips of the fingers and the tips of the nose are other extremely sensitive areas. Our purpose, however, is not to understand the neurological basis of the senses of touch, but rather it's psychological importance. Psychological touch can make or break a relationship. It can communicate hate or love to the person whose primary love language is physical touch. The message will be far louder than the words, "I hate you" or "I love you." A slap to the face, oh my, detrimental to any child, but it is deserving to a child whose primary love language is touch. A tender hug communicates love to any child. And just to add to that, in the five love languages of kids, they talk about how detrimental all of these can be, all of the five love languages can be in punishment. So for our daughter, whose love language is quality time, and I can attest to this, I try not to spank, but there have been times when spankings are dealt out, and she could give two shits if I spank her. She doesn't care. But if I put her in time out, well, she's now to the point where she's kind of just like moody and like meh. But for a minute there, she was really like, timeout was like the end of the world. Like separating her or taking away her quality time was worse than a spanking. Now, if your child's love language is physical touch, spanking them is one of the worst things you can do. If your kid's love language is words of affirmation, telling them negative words, "You're terrible. This was such a bad thing that you did." That's worse to them than anything else. If their love language is gift and taking away their toys, grounding them from a toy, is your punishment. That's so detrimental to them. So, kind of yin and yang. So think of how you do that when you find out your kids love language. Here's my story, because I haven't talked enough, on physical touch. They did a study, and they told me this in massage school. They did a study on these orphanages. And in one orphanage, the children were held and loved and picked up and played with, right? And in the other orphanage, they're just overran, understaffed. Those kids were picked up when they needed to be fed and have a diaper change. And other than that, they were just left alone. Mm-hmm. In the two orphanages, the infant mortality rate in the untouched orphanage was higher than that of the orphanage where the children were held and loved and played with. That is how important, and just for context, so you don't think, is my son waking up or did he just cough?
He just coughed. It could lead to
a wake up. Just to prove that, like, this isn't just a massage story that I was told. I had a full-on conversation with a man in my church about this exact research. He was a psychologist, I think. I don't know what he was. He's fucking weird. Just talking to him, I mentioned the story to him, and he's like, I remember this. It was with nuns in an orphanage. It was a church-ran orphanage. He knew the exact study, but he was not in massage therapy at all. So it's like, look it up. I never have, because I just believe what people tell me. That is, like, seriously, physical touch is so important. And I have seen it. I have seen it in, like, we have friends that, like, we took, like, oh, you hold your babies all the time. How could you? Like, you need time for yourself. Don't do that. But, like, to me, physical touch is that important. It is, especially with my little baby in the other room. Gifts don't mean anything to him. He doesn't speak English. So I can tell him he's handsome all day, but he doesn't know what I'm saying, you know? Like, to him, quality time, physical touch, and obviously acts of service are, like, going to be his top three, because he doesn't understand anything else. He just wants me to feed him. He wants me to hold him, and he wants me to play with him, you know? Like, that's how I show him love. Like, it is so important. I don't remember what the, I think it's Laszlo's pyramid of, like, needs. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
So there's, like, this pyramid of, like, basic human needs. And at the bottom, at the very bottom, it's like, basically, to survive, you need at least these things. And as you go up and up and up, like, the top is, like, social interactions or something. But the bottom is, like, hey, you at least need, like, food and shelter to survive. Physical touch is one of the bottom of the pyramid. I should look this up. Hold on. Okay, so I fudged up. It's Maslow, not Laszlo. Maslow's 5 levels of human need. It's basically a pyramid. And like I said, at the bottom, it's psychological needs. These are the base things that people need to survive. And as it goes up, there's 5 of them. The top is self-actualization, which is like, these are great to, you know, you do need these in your social life, but the bottom ones are what you need to survive. And that's food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep, breathing. Oh shit, I'm not seeing it on here, but I'm pretty sure physical touch is one of those basic human needs. And I literally just saw it on one of these. Okay, I'm not seeing it, so I'm really shoving my foot in my mouth. It's very important. I, as a massage therapist, like, truly believe, like, physical touch is so important, even though it's not my love language. Again, it's kind of, like, goes under gift giving, like, with my kids. Like, I have to hug them, I have to kiss them, I have to hold them. With my kids, I really strive to provide all 5 love languages for them. With Brady, I'll get into this in a second, but yeah. I just feel like I don't need it, but I love to give it, if that makes sense. Which my friend that told me about the book says, that means it's your love language, but I don't think it's mine. Brady, as someone whose love language is physical touch, what do you would like to add on this?
I think it's a hard one to kind of get into, because you kind of look at it and I feel like you always want to think, like, oh, it's sexual, you know? It's like, especially as a man, It's like physical touch. You want to physically be touched, and like partially, yes. But there's certain times where it's just like a back scratch, or, you know, like holding hands, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be anything. I feel like it's hard because it's one of those thoughts, like because we kind of mentioned it, you know. But it's like, it's one of those things that most people automatically assume, like, oh yeah, physical touch. And you're just like, well, yes and no. Like, yes, it's physical touch, but no, it doesn't have to be anything more than, you know, than what it is, you know, just to simplify something that doesn't really need to be simplified. But that's kind of the thought, is like, yeah, I mean, and our one daughter, our oldest daughter, is super into back scratches. Like, if we're ever laying there, if we're ever snuggling, she always wants me to do two things: scratch her back and tickle her. And it's always at the same time. It can't be like one or the other. She was always like, scratch my back and then tickle me. But she wants it like, she wants it scratches and then like with a tickle mixed in. I don't know why. I don't ask. But I just kind of assume it's, I'm like, it's the way it is. Like, that's just what she wants, you know? And it's, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like, it can literally be like, she just wants a back scratch. It doesn't have to be anything weird. And I feel like with most couples, that's kind of, it doesn't have to be anything like that. It doesn't have to be, and it could be, you know, a hand on your shoulder or holding hands or just something like that. And, you know, not to kind of ramble on too long, too late, but it's, yeah, so it's kind of, I feel like it's one of those things that's misunderstood, not trying to crap on it or whatever.
How you find out, I got to get my words together. Holy shit, give me a second. Okay, so we are about to take the love language test. Obviously, some kids don't, I don't know, these questions aren't necessarily like for kids to answer. And in the love language for children, there is no test. Because, like, depending on your kid's age, so obviously some of them can't sit and take a test. There is a test in the love languages for children. It is for the age, it's called a mystery game. For someone that took a second, okay, by the time the child is 9, he or she is better able to identify and express his or her feelings about love than when he or she was younger. So this test is for 9 years and up. Because it's kind of like a long test. Kids are going to like get bored. But for parents of children, basically it said between the ages of 5 to 8 years old, you might try the following exercise. Ask him or her to draw or call out some ways parents love their children. You should try not to guide their drawings or answers, limit their responses, or require more responses than what he or she is prepared to give at that time you ask. Depending on the child's attention span and the time of day, you may get many answers, or you may get very few. If it seems like slow going, then you may want to secretly explore the subject of love with your child for a week or so until you can deduce what he or she perceives as love. So, what I did with our 6-year-old was I just asked her, how do you know, this is so, so, so cute, but I just said, how do you know mommy and daddy love you? And she just said, I feel it in my heart, which just, perfect answer. I loved that. So freaking cute, so genuine and so pure, but it didn't, it didn't answer my questions. It's like, what do we do to make you feel it in your heart? And her answer was, you take me to the gas station after school. Because, like I said, quality time. We spend quality time just going to the gas station with her after school. She doesn't give a shit if she gets a 99-cent juice bug or one of the expensive, stupid candies that they have, like the stupid not Pez, but they have like a unicorn that poops. It's like, what, $2 or something? Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
or she'll get like a 99-cent grab bag. Like, it doesn't matter. She's not there for to get anything. It's the fact that we took her to, like, took time out of our day to take her to the gas station. That is special. That is quality time. Like I said, her second answer was, and also she's like, you take me to the gas station and you give me snuggles. She loves snuggles. So her love languages are quality time and physical touch. When I ask my 3-year-old, she just turned three. She just turned three.
Yeah.
What are your love languages? She just makes a poop joke because that's where she's
Hell
at in life. Poop's funny.
yeah.
But if I had to guess, I think her love language is obviously physical touch and probably gifts, because she's true to her middle name. She's named after my great grandmother, who was a miser till the end. And this little girl fucking loves her money. So I would say if you give this girl, I gave her just some money. She's vacuuming with her pretend vacuum today.
Yeah,
And I gave her money and she was happy as a clam. She wanted more money. So,
she doesn't care what pennies are.
pennies or quarters.
Pennies are just as good as quarters.
Yeah, the money's money. She's so thankful. So yeah, that's the exercise you can try with your quick kit. Oh gosh, that's the exercise you can try with your kids. If you want to do the drawing exercise, you definitely can. I just asked my daughter straight out. And I mean, when I first read this book, I asked her, I think she was 4 at the time, 3 or 4, and I was able to deduce that quality time was her love language, so it's still true at 6 years of age. And like I said, it's made a world of a difference for us, like Brady was kind of saying, like knowing what her love language is. I do try to do all 5 love languages with my kids just to make sure my bases are covered. But I do know with my oldest that I'm going to try extra hard just to do quality time, doing a puzzle with her, playing board games with her, coloring with her, even just sitting on the couch and snuggling. And I'll even just point out to her, like, oh, it's so nice to have, you and mommy time, because we don't get a lot of you and mommy time, do we? Like, just being her time, and that means more to her than anything else in the world. So yeah, that being said, let's take the quiz to find out what our love language is. Brady's last we checked, I don't remember what my top three were.
Acts of service.
Quality time and physical touch. I think acts of service was actually, I can't remember.
Acts of service was number one, but I can't remember
No,
which
all
one.
three of them were tied at this at the top. But like I said, I think I fudged it with physical touch. So I'm gonna read these instructions very carefully, because my mother did not. I tried doing this with my mother, my sister, and her boyfriend, and my mom didn't understand the assignment. So I'm gonna ask a series of questions.
Wait.
You are going to tell me which one you prefer more. Okay?
For some reason I thought. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I was confused.
No, oh gosh, I'll call you my
No,
mom.
I heard you say your sister, your mom, your sister and your boyfriend, but I heard your mom, her sister and her
Oh,
boyfriend. And so I was like,
no.
which one of your aunts has a
Anyways,
boyfriend? Sorry.
you
Okay.
just choose. I'm gonna give, they each have like letters next to them, A, E, B, D, C, B. They're not like A,
Okay.
B. So you're going to write down which one you prefer.
How many questions are there?
I don't, there's
A 10?
30.
30.
30 questions, we can kind of blow through them, but you're gonna tell me which one you prefer. And don't be like my mom and say I'm greedy and want them all. And that where she got confused is, well, your dad likes this, so I would do this. No.
No,
What do you
I'm gonna
prefer?
answer honestly, and
Yes.
that's right.
Right. Question number one. Which do you prefer? It's more meaningful to me when, number one, I receive a loving note / text / email for no special reason from my loved one, or she and I hug. So the first one is A. I receive a loving note, text, email for no particular reason from my loved one, or E. Ooh. She and I hug. All right, question number two. I can spend alone time with her, just the two of us. That's B. Or she does something particular to help me out. D. Okay, question number three. She gives me a little gift as a token of our love for each other. C. Or I get to spend uninterrupted leisure time with her. B. Number four. She unexpectedly does something for me, like filling my car or doing the laundry. D. Or she and I touch. E. Number five. She puts her arm around me when we're in public. E. Or she surprises me with a gift. C. And if you're thinking like, oh, neither of these, just remember, which one would you prefer out of the two?
Like, some of them are not saying like these are like, holy crap, I can't believe, like, it's just like, oh man, which would I prefer out of the two?
You know? No, I get that too. Like, oh, which one would I prefer? But like I said, just out of the two, like what one's more meaningful, the arm around you in public or the gift? Like, which one would you rather? And even when you're like, oh, either one's like stupid to me. Well, which one means more to you? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Number six. I'm around her even if we're not really doing anything. B. Or we hold hands. E. Number seven. My loved one gives me a gift. C. Or I hear I love you from her. A.
Not a bitch. I could be in.
Brady.
Oh, I thought
calm down.
Sorry, I was lecturing my notepad.
Eight. I sit close to her. E. Or I am complimented by her for no apparent reason. A. It's stupid because some of these I'm like, well, it depends on what mood I'm in. But, you know, just do your best.
Yeah, I get it. I feel you.
Yeah. Nine. It's more meaningful to me when I get the chance to just hang out with her, B, or I unexpectedly get a small gift from her, C. Number 10, I hear her tell me, I'm proud of you, A, or she helps me with a task, D.
Maybe.
All right, number 11, I get to do things with her, B, or I hear supportive words from her. A. Okay, number 12. She does things for me instead of just talking about doing nice things. D. Or I feel connected to her through a hug. E. Okay, number 13. I hear praise from her. A. Or she gives me something that shows she was really thinking about me. C. Number 14. I am able to just be around her. B. Or I get back rubs or massages from her. E. Okay, number 15. We're halfway through. She reacts positively to something I've accomplished. A. Or she does something for me that I know she doesn't particularly enjoy. D. Number 16. She and I kiss frequently. E. I sense she is showing interest in the things that I care about. B. Okay, number 17. Number 17. Burger King foot lettuce. The glizzy closer. Sorry. I don't know why that popped into my head. I haven't thought about that in a while. 17. My loved one works on special projects with me that I have to complete. D. Or she gives me an exciting gift. C.
Shit.
Number 18. She compliments me on my appearance. A. She takes the time to listen to me and really understands my feelings. B. And, sorry, I'm just reading this straight from the book, and he just wrote it in the perspective of a man. I hope that it doesn't offend anyone. I just take it as whatever. Like, what do you prefer, he or she?
I mean, I'm offended, but I didn't want to say anything.
It just hit me that these are all from a man's perspective, and maybe that might piss people off, but...
He's trying to help.
All right, moving on to 19. We share non-sexual touch in public. E. She offers to run errands for me. D. Number 20.
Sorry, it's just something about...
It's in my head now.
Well, it's because you say number, and that's...
Okay.
Sorry. 20. Top five reference.
She does a bit more than her normal share of the responsibilities we share. We share around the house, work-related, etc. D. Or I get a gift that I know she put thought into choosing. C. Okay, 21. She doesn't check her phone while we're talking. B. Or she goes out of her way to do something that relieves pressure on me. D. 22. She brings me little gifts after she has been traveling without me. C. She takes care of something I'm responsible to do, but I feel too stressed to do at that time. Okay, sorry. I just skipped ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to blame that I'm reading in a room that has, like, little to no light.
And it keeps flashing.
And it keeps flashing. So I just read 23, so I'm going to go do both of them again. So 22 is, I can look forward to holidays because of the gift I anticipate receiving. C, or I hear the words, I appreciate you from her. A. Alright?
Okay.
Now 23, the one I just read. Sorry. She brings me little gifts after she has been traveling without me. C, or she takes care of something I'm responsible to do, but I feel too stressed to do at that time. D. Okay. I'm so sorry about that. Back on track.
No, you're good. I was just...
It's...
I didn't hear a letter for that other one.
So and I'm getting old, and my eyes are getting shit, so I'm, like, struggling to read in this low light. Okay, let's go to 24.
Okay.
She doesn't interrupt me when I'm talking. B.
Whoops.
Gift-giving is an important part of our relationship. C. 25. She helps me out when she knows I'm already tired. D. I get to go somewhere while spending time with her. B.
Whatever.
Okay, 26.
26. 23.
She gives me little gifts that she... Sorry. She and I are physically intimate. E. She gives me little gifts that she picked up in the course of her normal day. C. Okay, we are on number 27.
27.
She says something encouraging to me. A. I get to spend time in a shared activity or hobby with her. B.
Watch it.
Okay, 28. You're like have the worst timing. As soon as I go to like push record, you're like, hey, I have something to say.
In case you haven't figured it out, she's pausing it in between so that we can deliberate our answers.
That way we don't take up too much time.
We don't take up too much time. We don't rush into an answer that you're going to later on be like, oh, I should have picked
28.
Whatever. Okay, 28.
She surprises me with a small token of her appreciation. See? Or she and I touch a lot during the normal course of a day. E. We got two more.
Okay.
And then maybe Brady's feeling good enough to give me his anecdote. We'll see.
I don't even know if it's an anecdote.
29.
Okay.
She helps me out, especially if I know she's already busy. D. I hear her specifically tell me, I appreciate you. A. All right, last question. She and I embrace after we've been apart for a while. E.
That's cute.
I hear her say how much I mean to her. A.
Wait.
What do you mean?
I heard A twice. What was the first one?
E.
E. Okay.
I was going to say, it's pretty easy to see which is which at this point, but...
Yeah, I don't... I just heard A and A, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, so the second part is... all in the she perspective, but it's the same questions, just with the different.
Oh.
So if that matters to you.
If you can't figure it out. If you can't deduce from the
basically,
other one.
What I want you to do is go and tell Lee how many A's, B's, C's, D's, and E's you have. And then whatever your highest number is, we'll come to that. All right, so interpreting... your profile score. Your highest score indicates your primary love language. The highest score is 12. It's not uncommon to have two high scores, although one language does have a slight edge for most people. That just means two languages are important to you. The lower score indicates those languages you seldom use to communicate love, and that probably don't affect you very much on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So I this time I didn't get a three-way tie, but my number one language, okay. If your A's were higher, your love language is word of affirmation. B's, quality time. Mm-hmm. C, receiving gifts. D, acts of service. E, physical touch.
Do you wanna guess mine and I'll guess yours? Or I don't know, I guessed... I'm guessing yours is my thought process with the way that I feel like you like to be loved. My thought is always going to be acts of service.
Ding, ding, ding. So what I was going to say is I did get a number one answer, but then I got two ties for the second one.
Okay.
So my number one is acts of service, and then my ties are words of affirmation and quality time, but... I do feel like quality time and words of affirmation kind of go hand in hand. But then again, acts of service and quality time can go hand in hand. Like, you helped me make tortillas yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made them by myself today when I was like, hey, want to help me? And you said no. But, if I had to go between A and B, I think, I don't know. Like I said, it kind of depends on my mood. Like, sometimes I do just want me and you time. But then there are times when I do just want you to tell me, like, hey, you're doing a good job. And just tell me how I'm doing good. You know?
Yeah.
Just a quick note before I guess yours. Coming in with a number total of 6 is physical touch. And just like last time, and this has a lot to say to my mental state and my traumas and my issues, gift giving is a big fat 0.
You're going to have to read the thing because you said them fast and I wasn't paying attention.
I thought I said them slow.
You might have, but I wasn't. What's A?
A is words of affirmation.
Hold on. W. Okay.
B is quality time.
Okay.
C is receiving gifts.
All right.
D is acts of service. E is physical touch. And if I had to guess, I would say yours is physical touch, because when you show your love to me, it's always... touching, 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 and which is great sometimes, but sometimes I just, especially with kids, I'm overtouched. Not so much now that I've quit my job, But when I was massaging people and then touching the kids all day, then you try to hug me, I'd be like, just leave me alone. I need my space.
Yeah. And you think I'm ugly?
That had nothing to fucking do with it.
Oh, sorry. So, yes, my number one is physical touch with a whopping 10.
Whoop, whoop. The highest score was 12.
And then my next two are very close. I didn't really see this coming, but my number two is quality time, mm-hmm. which I knew was coming.
That goes hand in hand with physical touch.
With 8 points. And then my third is gift giving.
You know what? That actually works out because if my love language is active service, no, it doesn't, because it's the other way around. So I was going to say, I could give you a massage, and then that way I'm performing a service for you, but you're getting physically touched. But that's just you winning twice.
Huh? Hell yeah. I like it. Let's go get that tape.
Okay, sorry. What was your third one?
Third one is gift giving.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was that high before, but because it was literally like,
well, and they can 10, change.
8, and 7.
They can change as you grow up.
Yeah. So 10, 8, and 7. And then fourth place, words of affirmation. And then last place, fourth place with 3 points, words of affirmation. And with a whopping 2 points, acts of service.
That really sucks. So, like, we just don't speak each other's love language. Like, yeah. Only that being said, I understand the importance of yours, but I guess you don't see the importance of mine.
Well, I mean, I get it because I've tried, like, when you used to work, my goal every night was to have the house clean before you got home, or as much of the house clean as I could get.
And I appreciated that.
Like tonight, I tried to clean as much of the house as I could before bedtime because I know when you wake up in the morning and there's not...
Oh, my day's so much better when I wake up and the house is clean.
Well, just when you don't have to, you know, if there's not like... Because I didn't vacuum, so you might have to vacuum when you wake up. At the same time, it's like, that's the easy part. Like, vacuuming is literally the easiest part of the day.
I will say, so how I talked about how the negative side of gift giving is like, I'm now intimidated to buy you a gift if your love language is gift giving, because if I get the wrong thing, I know I'm screwed. The negative side of my love language being acts of service is I'll be like, hey, help me clean. And you're infamous that you will clean the living room and then sit down with a smile on your face doing, I did good. And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? I cleaned 3 rooms and the time it took you to do that one room. And there's so much more that needs to be done and you think you're good. And I mean, I have a whole house to do.
I clean the shit out of that one room though.
I know you do. But I'm just saying, I want help with the whole house and you do one room and you're like, house is good. So that's a downside to access services. You have to like meet my level of standards.
Yeah. And it's hard because to be fair, it's like I want to do stuff to help you. But at the same time, it's like the one the one thing you want done is the one thing that I'm like, I don't want to do. You know, it's like doing the dishes.
Is anyone listening? We don't know. They probably all gave up on us. But thank you so much for listening. If you're still here, like 10,000 points to your house, McCade, you're Hufflepuff. So 10,000 points to Hufflepuff. What love languages are yours? I don't know what else to say. Thanks for hanging on this long. And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
Oh, and spoiler alert, I just found out. apparently, if you're Hufflepuff in the new Harry Potter game, you get an exclusive mission that no other houses get.
Well.
So, I'm not going to be Hufflepuff on the new game. I'm not going to do it just for a mission. But I just thought that was funny that they're like...
And the wonderful thing about recording 2 weeks in advance is... McCade, I really appreciate you. Thank you for your honest feedback, if you're still listening at this point. But I went really hard on like, oh, I hope I'm not Hufflepuff. I know I'm Hufflepuff. I don't hate Hufflepuff. I just felt like... If I wasn't in Slytherin, I would be in Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mostly was just worried that there'd be so much Slytherin memorabilia I'd have to take back. I have nothing against Hufflepuffs. I have a whole Justice for Hufflepuffs episode. Go listen to that. I love you, Hufflepuffs. And I love you. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next. We can't wait to talk to you next time.
Love you. Bye.